Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Yes, it's Party Friday, all right, in a beautiful time of year here in Colorado. It's the Chuck and Julie Show. Julia Hayden, Chuck Bonnell, Two Straight Up, brought to you by our good friends
at AmericanCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, and also Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cenogenics.
All right, Julie. Well, the unemployment numbers were not as the Biden administration expected.
But Chuck, whose fault is it?
Donald Trump's fault.
Now, let's make this up. No, I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I had a little bit of Red Bull here. But at any rate, it's Party Friday.
Doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't take much. It's Party Friday. Under Trump, right, everything was bad, bad, bad. It was the height of the pandemic. And now, thank God for Joe Biden, because he alone did the vaccine so everyone can go back to work. But no one is. No one is, tragically.
Oh, well, I mean, why would you go back to work when you can earn more money in unemployment than you could working?
Right.
I mean, you know, the Americans may not all be brilliant, but they can figure that one out. And Joe Biden's gone. And so somebody recommended just start hiking all your wages.
Because that's effective.
Well, you know, to a certain degree it is, but I think it'll certainly break the small corporation, which is a good thing,
which
according to Joe Biden,
because,
you know, we don't want the little...
Yeah, here's some stats. So, again, the unemployment rate now is higher than it was at the height of the pandemic. They added just 266,000 jobs in April. That was like, I was like, is that in Colorado? It's like, no, that's for the country. They were hoping to get like 1.5 million. I mean, this was massively lower than they thought. The unemployment is up. There are fewer jobs there.
Well, you have to remember that they had this whole rollout coming, because there's going to be 2 million new jobs in the first 100 days. They're bringing Janet Yellen in to celebrate that. They had a special news conference set up, and Joe rolled out of bed and they went, what? Huh? Well, I don't know. What's the difference? 200,000 or a million? That's the same thing, isn't it? But no, they had to explain to him it wasn't. But he was still happy enough for... They had a rollout plan. They had a Party Friday plan. So they were going
to
have a party. The incredibly dismal job numbers showed the plan is working.
That's right, because it was Donald Trump's fault too. And we have a soundbite with Maria Bartiromo, who just always...
I love her these days.
She is just great these days, particularly in the economy. So Thomas, if we could play the unemployment soundbite, please.
I was watching a moment ago over on Fox Business. Go ahead and size it up for us. What do you think on your early impression of this number, Maria?
Well, look, I think it's a fair question to ask whether or not this was self-inflicted, given the massive amount of money that we are expecting to hit the economy and how much money has already hit the economy. Look at the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Businesses are having a hard time getting people back to work, and we are throwing unemployment benefits, $300 checks, and the like to people at home. They don't really feel an urgency to get back to the office. So that's one thing. There are some seasonal adjustments here that economists say could make this number a bit fluky, but I don't think there's any question that this economy is doing well right now. You've got the Atlanta Federal Reserve expecting growth of 13% in the second quarter. You've got an economy, broadly speaking, for the year of 2021 with expectations of GDP all the way up to 9%. So yes, this was wildly below broad expectation from economists. I think it has to do with businesses being unable to get workers back, because they don't need the money, because they're getting free money from all of this spending right now.
Here's the thing, though. The only thing I disagree with, Ron, it's not free money. It's our money. That's the thing we got to remember. We are bankrupting ourselves and our children and our children's children to give people free money so they don't have to go to work.
It's not that they don't feel the need. If they go back to work, they make less money than, you know, it's not like you could just, okay, I'll bank this and I'll go back to work. No, you got to see. It's like those farmers who get paid for not during the crop. So it's not like you could bank it. And a lot of people go, oh, yeah, if I can bank everything. But they say, what do you mean? I can do nothing. I can play golf. I can have a great time. Or I can just, you know, stack the shelves at King Supers.
And Sandra hits a good point here. Sandra, you're right. And they are still not paying rent.
This is not a bad time.
And you can't, who is the CDC to say you can't evict people? But they're saying that the courts are like, you can't say that, CDC, but they are.
No,
and
CDC can say whatever they
want. You hit it on the head, Chuck. It's like, you guys, and this is what you need to be aware of. It's just like the border crisis. Biden knows, maybe not Biden, but the Biden administration knows what's going on. They know that the border is porous and criminals and all kinds of bad people and all kinds of people in general are coming into the
country.
They're
kind of illegal. New Americans.
Right.
Hardworking ones.
They're happy to have that. Just like this, too. This is all part of, we've talked about before, this globalism. That's the new elite. That's the oligarchy, okay? And they want to crush small businesses because you know who's not hurting? Amazon. You know who's not hurting? Facebook. You know who's not hurting? The big corporations. They're fine with all of this. And you, I guarantee you, they're not going to be paying higher taxes. I don't care what Joe Biden says, but he's going to tax.
Oh, for
God. You think Mark Zuckerberg is going to be paying higher taxes? I don't think so. Okay.
You're going to be paying higher taxes. I said it wouldn't really affect anybody above who makes above $20,000.
So that's a disgusting thing about this is we can do, you know, the mainstream media will be like, they do these stories and the Biden administration will trot out, you know, Jen Psaki, who says, oh, I'll get back to you on that.
Even Jen Psaki has now announced that even though she's not been on the job, she wants to get some of those.
What the hell am I working here in Washington?
I've been at this job already a couple months. Screw it.
Right.
I'll be leaving next year or this year or whenever I goddamn feel like it.
Whenever the next stimulus checks come through. But they know that, and that's what they're out for, because they're going to push higher wages, which, of course, for whatever reason, won't apply to Amazon, right? Amazon will sue. Amazon can squash any kind of union vote it wants. You hear about all the horrible conditions.
Well, Josh Hawley said, let's have a $15 minimum wage for all billion-dollar corporations. I agree with that totally. They can afford the $15. We're now some small restaurant, maybe not,
right.
but let's just give it back to these beloved big international corporations.
And Leo makes a good point, too. And you're right, Leo. This is something else that's going around where they're just screwing around every other day with the rules regarding COVID, which is just nonsense anymore. What about the restaurant dishwasher that goes back to work? Then they shut it down 3 weeks later and he has to refile. It's screwed all around. And Sandra, Democrats always destroy everything they touch.
It's
everything.
True.
The rich
it
know.
True.
And they know and they hide their money.
And you can screw California, you know, a heaven on earth. And they've managed to screw that up so badly. And they're doing a good job here in Colorado, too. Just go down. If you're not living in downtown Denver, go on down and see the fine living.
Downtown is basically, I was downtown working on a story for the newspaper, and actually we'll do it later. It's a cool story, a feel-good story.
All right.
I know. But I was down at like 16th and Pearl, just sort of north and east of the Capitol. There was plenty of parking. The lots, which are normally packed, are not packed. Hardly anybody walking on the streets. A lot of homeless people I saw, I'm like, is this another one of those sanctioned homeless camps? I mean, there must be, they say there are like four of them. It's like, no, there are a million of them over there.
Well, that's what the proposal is for.
Right.
They've got these SOS sites, which was the South Park Hill one, which the fine liberals are fighting.
They're suing over now.
I would too. But I don't see Hickenlooper from the plane.
But it is, and it's the kind of thing that, I mean, Leo is absolutely right. If you're the dishwasher, it's screwed up, so it's hard for you to know. If you're the person running the restaurant, it's hard for you to know. And it filters down. We had my aunt died back in January, and she died in Florida. They want to have a service and bury her in Illinois, where we're all from, and they can't get a gravestone. And I was talking to a potential client for the newspaper, and I said, what's up with that? And he said, here's the problem. First, they shut everything down because of COVID, so you couldn't get in and mine the granite, right?
Sure.
And he said, now we can't get people to go back to work. No one wants to go back to work. They're like, why would you want to go work at a granite mine?
Well, this
when
is
you
great.
Could just have the government.
Is there ever a better time? Except we don't, you know, I'm an employer, not an employee. So, you know, and I don't have enough of, you know, I don't live in an enterprise zone, or the business is not an enterprise zone. So everybody else are getting $1 million checks. You know, what about mine? You're a small business.
Yeah, we hate you.
we hate you. You suck.
Well, and here's the thing that worries me about this, and you know a little bit more than me, but so now we've got all of these people who are being incentivized to stay home and not go back to work, and they are. And so they're using our tax money to give everybody these paychecks. Meanwhile, all of these small businesses are folding because they can't get people, first because of the whole COVID thing. Now they can't get people, so they still can't open up, and they don't have customers. Sooner or later, they're going to close, and sooner or later, the money's going to dry up, and now you're going to have
it
all these people.
Never dries up.
Well, I think that's
sure, 1920 Germany inflation will hit eventually, but we can party up until that time. And just keep on printing
away.
Sooner
or later, though, these people are the dishwasher, like Leo says, or the whatever, is going to want to go back to work, and the business is going to be closed.
No, they don't want to go back to work. Most people don't, dishwashing isn't that much fun. You know, pro golfer maybe wants to go back to work. Dishwasher's not dying. The garbage man's not dying to get back to work. And so it's an amazing process. But luckily, Joe Biden now has is about to give us his $2 trillion, $4 trillion, I forget what trillion, new Make America Bankrupt Again plan. And we got to have that now. This just shows this. This is absolute proof. They haven't shoved enough worthless money to enough worthless lefties.
I remember doing shows when Obama was president and saying and believing this, that I felt bad because I thought my daughter's generation, up until then, you always kind of felt like you were going to do better than your parents, right? That was sort of the American dream, and it was working. Then under the Obama years, it became clear that that was not going to be the case anymore. And Obama told us that, right? He's like, yeah, no, you're all screwed from now on. Sorry.
Everybody says, you grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth, but you kind of go, how do you do better than your parents when your parents made a lot of money? It's kind of depressing because you're probably not going to do don't you feel sorry for me?
No, I don't feel
Come
sorry.
On.
No, we can talk about Chuck's childhood sometime, and you won't feel sorry for me either. But where I was going under Trump, he turned it around, and all of a sudden you realize, he brought jobs back. The economy was booming. Cares. And in 4 months or less, Biden administration has destroyed it. And not only have they destroyed it right now, they're destroying it for the future. And again, they don't care. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy small business. They want to destroy the middle class. They want the oligarchy to take complete control, and that the giant global corporations will run things, with Mark Zuckerberg telling them what they can or can't put on their social media account. And they got to keep standing up against it.
The Gates won't be telling us, because they're having a little trouble right now. And I don't know. I've got an acute sense of Schadenfreude at their misery, because I just
Bill and Melinda Gates.
Bill and Melinda Gates.
Sounds like he was a pig in some way, shape, or form.
I did not do this, and I kind of castigate myself. I should have thought about this, but before getting married, he said, "Look, I'll marry you, but I get a week with my old girlfriend once a year, you know." We won't do too much, No.
We'll walk and talk about stuff.
Yeah, we're just a walking and a talking. Now, he didn't get a prenup, but he did get that, which wasn't too bad, for 27 years.
Well, and then he got the Chinese interpreter, too. So
Right. I mean, is that Wendy Fang or Fang Fang? Maybe Fang Fang got in there,
it's
too.
It's her cousin. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I don't think it's her cousin. Well, and he was hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein. It's like after he pled guilty to stuff. It's like, and Melinda said that, too. That was
He doesn't comply with our values. What are your values, you wonderful Gates?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's right. Would love to see the Epstein visit list. So that's unemployment. There's a ton of stuff I wanted to talk about today. Speaking of Mark, should we move on to the cartels and Facebook and stuff?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So this will outrage you if you haven't seen this. So we all know that Facebook and Twitter banned Donald Trump forever in their sanctimonious way because they don't like his political beliefs. But who does Facebook allow on? Who have they been allowing on? Us, not very much though. The criminal cartels. I didn't realize this. And we're going to play the soundbite here in a second. But a Florida representative, Kat Comack, was down at the border, and she wrote a letter to Mark Zuckerberg recently, and she said basically Facebook is running ads and making money from human trafficking from the cartels. They talk about, she went through, and there's some,
well, they have a legitimate business.
The cartels, the Sinaloa cartel, the Sinaloa cartel has 88,000 Twitter followers. Can you believe that? Yeah. But Trump, we can't have Trump on there. On one Facebook post, the cartels were saying travel to the United States costs $8,000, 100% safe, right? You can believe that. And then they explain how it's going to work. You're going to cross through Matamoros. You walk an hour after automobile, and then you arrive with your relative. That's after,
they
of course.
They pick you up. The nice INS pick you up. After, take you to a hotel, baths, TV, internet.
Yeah, that's for the clients who are sexually assaulting you. You're held captive there. I mean, it is outrageous. So Facebook, apparently this was pointed out to Facebook a while ago, months and months and months ago. Well, I guess when it started with Biden. And Facebook didn't care. They don't regulate at all. So that's
their
why.
Values. This you got to remember, like Bill and Melinda Gates, and their values.
Their values are different. Yeah. Yeah. If we could play the cartels, the Facebook cartels soundbite now too.
From one social media to another, Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamak sending a scathing letter to Facebook after reportedly finding ads for human smugglers and cartels on the platform. She wrote, in part, Facebook's role in the crisis at the border is urgent and must be addressed immediately. As people visited these pages, myself included, Facebook then provided additional pages and posts of related illegal content. Congresswoman Kamak is a member of the Homeland Security Committee. She joins us right now from Florida. Congresswoman, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much. So we were talking about this story yesterday. You go down to our southern border. Yes. You see with your own two eyes. You talk to the migrants about how they heard about coming there. And then you hear all about Facebook. The cartels are buying ads on Facebook.
It's wild. It is absolutely unconscionable to think that this is happening. But I got to tell you, my very first border trip, we had just gotten to the Donna processing facility, and there was a busload of very young children and parents with children under the age of 6. And I spoke to a 15-year-old girl. I said, "Where are you from?" She said, "Guatemala." I said, "How did you know to come here?" And she said, "Facebook." I hadn't been but 5 minutes in the Donna processing facility when I heard the term Facebook. Right. And as I went through the facility, I kept hearing from kids, from adults, Facebook. Yes, we coordinated logistics through Facebook. We paid through Facebook. We talked on WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook. And it was a disturbing trend. And when I started talking with HSI and some of the Border Patrol agents, they themselves have seen this firsthand. So I figured, hey, I'm a millennial. I'm pretty savvy with Facebook. I'll do a quick search. And just this morning, you know, at 6 o'clock, as I'm sitting down to do this interview with you guys, I pull up Viaje a Estados Unidos, and lo and behold, a page with directions, with routes, prices, $6,000 to come to the United States, $9,300 to get to San Antonio. It takes a simple search of Get to the Frontera, right. And that is all it takes to find out exactly who to pay, how to get here, and how you're going to get smuggled across. And they even talk about in these ads how you can take a 6-year-old or under, or if you're a single adult, what they're going to do to help get you across. It's absolutely nuts.
It is nuts. And they know that if you've got a kid, they're going to let the kid in, and they might let you in as well. But here's the thing, and you've written a letter to Facebook, and you've written a letter to Mark Zuckerberg to say, hey, look what you're doing. But think about it. This means that Facebook is making money from cartels and from human smugglers. How can they do that?
Exactly. And they can do that because they just do. I mean, let's think about the moral, not even the moral, the evil. I was going to say the immoral, the evil involved in this. So you've got this multi-bazillion dollar company owned by one of the richest men on the planet, who likes to
stole the whole idea
from his roommates, who likes to spend a lot of time telling us what we should do and what we should believe. They got to spend a lot of time and money helping to rig the election so that they make sure they get Democrats in there who won't force them to deal with some of these evil acts that they're engaging in. And that's what's going on. I mean, you've seen the stories. These are drug cartels. And I was a reporter. We did stories on that. These are people, I mean, you've all seen, we've seen watching the stories, you know, these are not nice people. These are evil drug cartels.
Well, they're better than the OxyContin folks, but
they're better than Bezos, but no. but they and we've seen story after story, and Donald Trump, and they kept saying debunk. It's not debunked. They're bringing children across, they're kidnapping people, holding them hostage for payments. We see what just the other day in California, they were smuggling in a boat, it overturned, people died. We see people, 90 people were being held in a house in Houston, and they were being held hostage for payments.
But luckily,
this is when they got here. Thank you, Facebook. And that's all okay. You've got children being sold into sex slavery, basically. And that's all okay. Of course, they're all friends with Jeffrey Epstein, so maybe. That's all okay. But Donald Trump, and they're going to shadow ban the Chuck and Julie show, right? If you try to post something, and say maybe one of the conservative sites, reopen Colorado, reopen Jeff, or something like that, can't do that. No. You get put in. Look at Neil Mathias constantly in Facebook jail, right?
Understandably so.
But if they were to start a drug cartel and say an
advertise, that's what we got to do, Julie. I just thought about it. Yeah. Let's set up an illegal immigration drug cartel
for conservatives.
Yeah. Then we would never get shadow banned. We'd never get thrown off YouTube. It'd be great.
And then we could just call it Hunter Biden's laptop in the meantime anyway. Yeah, yeah. We'd love to know where the illegals are getting the money to pay the cartels. Well, Sandra,
we're sending it down to them. That's where they're getting it.
No, that's the bad part, Sandra. They, in some instances, not in all. So what happens is they get here and then they work it off. Or they get relatives.
You're not robbing your house.
Stealing
your car.
That's why they call it human trafficking, because they really don't get to walk to the car with their relatives. There is no relative. There's no relative, right?
So great. We're back with a normal administration.
They talk about systemic racism. God. This is slavery. It's nothing short of slavery, and that's all okay. Hey, 888-62, I forgot to say this earlier. 888-627-6008 if you want to weigh in. 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom and you want to comment on this, just go ahead and unmute yourself, turn your mic on, and just go ahead and pop right in. Sandra's like, great, there'll be more reparations. That's true.
That's Leo.
Yeah, they'll give him reparations. But let's think about this. And again, this is why this elite oligarchy, they all have their own reasons, right? So if you're the Biden administration, you just want more people who are going to vote for you. And if you're the cartels, you just want more money, but you work together. And if you're Facebook, you want all of the above. And so they all work together. If you're a cartel,
that's called cooperation.
I mean, there was a time, call me crazy, but when the United States investigated cartels, when the Drug Enforcement Agency,
that's so pessimistic.
They talk about the amount of fentanyl.
That's so pessimistic.
I know.
We've got to direct our resources to better places.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I don't know determining what color crayons kindergartners should use. So that's something that is outrageous. And we were talking, and we're working on getting a guest on this. I wish that President Trump would hurry up and get the social media platform going. Parler was down; has been down for the past few days. I can't get on, so I don't know what's going on there.
The day Donald Trump set up a alternative Facebook, everybody be on it, or not half the country be on it, not everybody, half the country be on it. It would just be a wildly successful one. So there must be some real drawbacks to being able to build that kind
challenges.
Of network.
Yeah, and I think sometimes part of it is simply that Amazon cloud services, right? They own everything. So if you have to, you still have to put it someplace. You still have to have servers somewhere. And like a lot of the servers are owned by China too. So maybe that's a problem, but you're right. We're looking for a guest on that. So if anybody knows, feel free to comment or message us, but obviously it must be harder than we would think
to set that up.
Cause I think they keep saying they're working on it, but it's not there. Excuse me. But again, I've hated Facebook forever. And I mean, they shadow ban us all the time and they limit our views and they take our posts down and all that kind of stuff. But it to me, hearing that they're not only letting the cartels doing it, they're making money from the cartels. The cartels are paying.
Couldn't they do a RICO thing and take Zuckerberg's house or something?
You would hope.
But no, they're investigating Republicans and they're making sure that the audit down in Arizona.
Right. Yeah, they're not They're not using the surveillance, the facial recognition things to try to catch cartel members or bad people coming into the country. Instead, they're using it to knock down the door of that couple in Alaska
who accused them of
Nancy Pelosi's laptop.
What's she got child porn on?
If they found Hunter Biden's laptop there, they would have left it. It's just
I don't think any time in the history of the United States have more of the citizens, and certainly true of me, utterly abhor our government and everything they do. I abhor the state government here in Colorado, I abhor the federal government under Biden, under the state, the Hancock administration. I just see them as all loathsome, tyrannical people.
That's
right. I mean, they just do.
This is from Leo. Okay, MS and Amazon have the two major cloud services. You would have to set up multiple data centers, network infrastructure using common carriers, et cetera. It's not simple. Leo, go ahead. You've got my email. Go ahead and email me that information, because that's just been my sense of it.
It couldn't have been easy. It would have been done.
And it's hard. I think the doing it, maybe, I got a feeling too that one of the things they're running into is finding a server and the cloud service that would not knock them off, right? They need to find an independent one. Exactly. All right. Other stuff I wanted to talk about today. You guys, it's kind of open line. So feel free again, 888-627-6008, or pop in on Zoom if there's anything else. To perk ourselves up on Party Friday, let's talk about Liz Cheney.
I love Liz Cheney, the entire Cheney family. Apparently she's accepted her fate and it's not whipping up the votes, which is asking people how they're going to vote. And it could be as early as...
To oust her from leadership.
Oust her from the number three in leadership. And the Washington Post and MSNBC, who have always...
Hated.
The Cheneys have been the worst of the worst. No, not
She's
so
great.
Much.
What are we doing? Why are we... Although Nancy Pelosi said, well, I don't know what's wrong with Lynn Cheney. She got her name wrong, so...
Oh, well, it's close enough. She didn't know anybody. But, you know, who are these
She's
people?
A Republican. I've never heard of any Republicans. Well, it is. It's interesting. So she started off, I think, gambling that Trump was going to somehow go away, because I think there's a bigger issue here that is cheerful. And she started attacking Trump. She voted to impeach him. Did not back off, right? Unlike Nikki Haley, she didn't go, oh, no, I like Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, that was, I don't know who, that was the bad Nikki Haley said that. Yeah. Liz Cheney.
I hate my twin sister.
Yeah. Liz Cheney has doubled down and stuck to it, and it has been awful. And then she keeps saying, even Kevin McCarthy, who was standing up for her, right, the leader who prevented her from being ousted before, is like, Liz, quit talking about this. It's not helpful, right? We need to talk about
just note
forward.
Something about the Biden administration you think maybe not perfect. But no, you know, she's got to fist pump him. And it wasn't, he said, well, I would never be rude to the president. You spent your time, you jumped over aisles to get to him.
Right.
That's, you're so polite, Lynn, and that you and your
And I think what's got to be, well, now what came out in the Washington Post is that, or the media today, there was a Washington Post editorial with 10 former secretaries of defense.
I think that was in January.
In January, right? That was in that bed. Well, it turns out Liz Cheney orchestrated
all
of that.
Liz Cheney!
So she bet badly. She gambled wrongly.
She can get some of that cartel money.
Exactly. I think what we've seen, though, is in some of the races that are going on, is the Trump-backed candidate is winning. And so, you know, Liz Cheney was thinking somehow or another Donald Trump was going to go away. She was going to be the face of the new Republican Party, except for she's just such a loathsome person.
But she could join what was it? It's not the Pioneer Project. It's the Lincoln Project.
The Lincoln Project.
The Lincoln Project.
That's kind of defunct after all
they're back. Back. Sure, they've been exposed.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
I think she's been trying to join it, but they're not going anywhere. The problem that all of these people don't understand and still don't understand is...
they have nobody who likes them. Well, nobody will vote for them. Nobody will do anything for them.
Well, because the thing is, Donald Trump did not start this, right? This was going on. Donald Trump simply saw what was going on in this country, recognized it, and then became its sort of charismatic face.
Right.
But it's the
non-apologetic
people.
Non-apologetic charism.
Right.
The key is a non-apologetic. I mean,
right.
It's just every time the left just grabs a hold of you, no matter how much you apologize, how much you beg for mercy, they don't give it to you. At least Donald Trump knew it, you know. He said, they go, oh, that's racist. Yeah, stick it. You know?
Right. Well, and that's the thing, again, that Liz Cheney, for some reason, she thinks that all the rest of us were kind of like that wacky cult that they found here in Colorado, where we're all just kind of following Donald Trump around, right? And we put his body in the bedroom or something with eyeshadow on. I'm sorry, that's a whole other story. But at any rate, that's a cult story. But I mean, but that's not the case. The case is there are 74 plus million people feeling that the Uniparty and the swamp creatures and the globalist elite were trying to destroy us when we were right about that. Donald Trump came in and said, I will fight for you. And then he did things to fight for us.
He actually did. I mean, you know, the phrase is that the voters don't trust Democrats because they'll do, and they don't believe Republicans, which is absolutely true. Yeah. Republican, I can't tell you. Well, Cory Gardner's a perfect example. You know, he started off in 2010 as the world's greatest Tea Party guy. And by the time he got to Washington, he was a swamp creature.
Right.
I mean, it was just, he's like, whoa.
Right. But then Donald Trump did not. He resisted the swamp. I think he did everything he could to destroy the swamp. And now.
And the swamp did everything he could to destroy him.
To destroy him. And he is still standing. And people, and that's the thing that Liz Cheney doesn't get. She's not just fighting Donald Trump. She's fighting 74 million people who share Donald Trump's ideas and hopes and dreams for this country.
As he said, there aren't really Donald Trump's ideas.
No.
Donald Trump did not come up with the ideas. He recognized those ideas and supported them on the campaign. And when he first got into office, I don't think he had any intention of following through with them. But he started doing them because I'm going, hey, that's incredibly popular. He thought he was going to get killed by dropping out of the Paris Climate Accord. And when he did, everyone, yay! Yay,
right. Well,
yay.
And then the economy started improving. And he's like, I knew I was right. And so that's what Liz Cheney doesn't get. So I think she's going to be ousted. The other thing that's interesting is Donald Trump is, you know, they're starting to throw their weight behind candidates. According to Eric Trump, they're starting to vet some candidates in Wyoming. And rather than, because I think what Liz Cheney was hoping for, she'd have like 80 people run against her and then she'd win by default.
Right.
And I think the Trump people are making it because they're smart. I think they have learned a lot, as we all have.
Yeah.
Well,
they don't need to have no other people running. They just need to have all the people who really care about getting Liz Cheney out to be able to concentrate on one person.
Exactly.
And that's possible because Donald Trump will say this one. They will go, okay, I don't know if better than that one. Who knows? They all lie anyway, but I'm voting for that one.
And I think the platform, I'm sure all you guys are getting it too, you know, he's issuing from his website these statements that you get. Now I get emails a couple of times a day or so, more sometimes even, with Donald Trump's statements. So he's still communicating, but he is communicating in a way that can't be shut down. Although they already shut down the Twitter and Facebook links. So you link his, you can't, which of course, you know, it took him, what, 12 hours to do that.
Right.
But he's still getting the message out and people are still listening and people are still responding. And I think that's what's happened with Liz Cheney. So you think she's kind of giving up?
Well, I don't know if she is or not. The reports that she's not doing the things she did last time to stay in power.
Right.
And, you know, last time they thought they were going to be able to throw her out and she won by a large margin. So, I mean, who knows? But
I think that's helpful. So I think if you're a politician out there and you're thinking, oh, there's a future in hating Donald Trump, being a Republican. And
talk to Nikki Haley.
Talk to Nikki Haley. Well, even if they had, I mean, at least Nikki, they're not outright trying to destroy Nikki Haley right now. But Donald Trump is like, oh, yeah, you want to play hardball? Okay, I can play hardball. You know, Liz Cheney.
I love Nikki Haley. I just, you know.
Well.
We can't follow him. He's led us down the wrong. We can never desert the Donald. I mean, how can you be? I understand she's a woman, but oh my God.
She just deleted all of those.
Jeez, I mean, just with his wide eye and his, oh, Mr. Donald.
Two more things I wanted to talk about. And again, you guys feel free to weigh in and just jump in. You're on open lines, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Two more things I wanted to talk about is masks. And then also Chuck was on Peter Boyle's show this morning. It was hilarious, as you and Randy and Peter always are. Here's the thing on masks. So, you know, raise your hand if you understand what the rules are for masks in Colorado. Okay, no. Raise your hand if you think it is a screwed up mess deliberately made so that no one understands it. Right? Yes, exactly. So Governor Polis issued a mask order. A bunch of, like Adams County has, Jefferson County, Ben is raising his hand. I mean, everybody, and then yesterday Denver went ahead and said, okay, we're going to go with it too. So this is my understanding, and Sandra, thank you, Sandra. This is my understanding of the mask order. You don't have to wear masks anymore.
No.
That's how I'm interpreting it. Because
you have to walk in a restaurant and say, if you're taking the vaccine, okay.
Yeah, they don't even have to say that.
No.
What they say is, so the way I understand the rules
you
are,
look like you're...
the government can't ask you, nor can you be required by the government to show a vaccine card, okay? For obvious reasons. They decided that wasn't going to be very popular.
Seems to be a HIPAA violation.
It seems to be all kinds of violations. But they have now said so that if you're in an indoor place where 80% or more of the people have been vaccinated, then nobody has to wear a mask. Now, they said they've left it intentionally not even vague. They just
85% of the staff,
right,
if they're vaccinated, they don't have to wear a mask.
Right, but you can't
so
ask them.
So if you see, you go to a restaurant, and these people are wearing, servers are wearing masks, you're in danger because they're not vaccinated.
So. Yeah, really. And so, but they said that they've said that they acknowledge that they're not really sure how we're supposed to figure all that out. But then they said they're just going to leave it to the business. Here again, they're going after the small businesses,
right,
okay? They're going to try to destroy them.
Right.
And then they said that if somebody complained and felt like that somebody should be wearing a mask, they would investigate, but then acknowledge again, since they can't ask if you have a vaccine card, it's going to be kind of hard to prove one way or another. So this is how I'm interpreting
this. And they'll be the same as the, you're 21 years old drinking card too. You can go on almost anywhere to get a vaccine card.
Exactly. So here's what I think. What they're trying to do now, and this is where Tucker Carlson is absolutely right. We need to strongly, this is my belief, begin resisting. And that is because they're going to rely on social pressure, right? They're going to, first, I guess you still have to wear masks, they say, in like restaurants and Target, and not restaurants, in grocery stores and Target, places like that. Why? I don't know. Why, if 80% of the people are vaccinated in this establishment, somehow or another, I'm still in danger in this establishment. But
follow the science.
I forgot the science. I forgot the science, guys. Sorry. But I think that it is time for us to truly stand up. And I mean, I've been thinking about what day. I was talking with a friend, and we're going to try to get him back on the radio on the podcast show here. He was saying he was going to declare June 1st his mask independence day. And he's saying just arbitrarily from then on, I'm not wearing a mask anymore. And if I go to a place and they say you have to wear a mask, then I'll leave. And I think that I think I'm going to pick a date and start doing that too. I don't know about you. I'll comply with the grocery store because I have to go to the grocery store. But I think
if they do it for liquor stores or not, but if they did, then
no,
they're there. And
Nordstrom maybe. Nordstrom, no, they don't have anything these days.
During sale period.
If it was a really good shoe sale, I might be forced to. But I think that it is time. I think it is time that we all, like Tucker Carlson said, we all know the masks are stupid because you can tell by people the way they do it, right? People know the masks are stupid because if you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask, whether you've been vaccinated or not, right? And if I haven't been vaccinated, but everyone else has been vaccinated and I had COVID, which we did, I don't need to be vaccinated either. There are millions and millions of people running around out there who are immune. And even if you get it, you're not going to get very sick. So, I mean, all the vulnerable people who want
we've got to bring up Mike Donovan back. He's been to the extent of obsession talking about ivermectin and you know, you had that with some hydrochloroquine, and, you know, 99% cure rate.
Right.
Which is what Donald Trump had.
And
yet all the major national health organizations, they've moved from saying it's something you absolutely shouldn't do to kind of, it's not proven. And,
right.
And there, he showed me this thing when they had these people who'd done all the studies. They hadn't done what's called a RCT, random customization tests, because you kill people in those, right? I mean, you do.
Yeah.
It's like a testing experiment. You give somebody a placebo and you give somebody else ivermectin. Oh, he died. He's okay. Well, that's okay. That's great. And it takes big pharma to do those. It costs millions of dollars. And ivermectin, these cross-purpose drugs have been used for other things and found to be good for something else, costs nothing because their patents have expired and all that.
Wow.
But you're talking to these doctors who are just saying, it works. Yeah. I'm telling you, I've given it to my patients. It works.
And
they keep on going, it works, you morons. We don't have to have a single person die. And yet we have the CDC, National Health, World Health Organization, and all these other ones kind of go, we don't know.
Right.
That's
right.
So we got something you can get vaccinated on. If you got sick, you can absolutely have a 99% chance of quickly cured. And if you're not a comorbidity excessively obese, 100-year-old, you're not in much danger. And yet we still have lockdowns. We still have,
Well, that's what Leo points out. You know, by the CDC's own stats, the survivability rate for all ages is 99.9987%.
There you go. There you go.
No, I mean, I'm going to think about it, and then we'll announce it and maybe do a show about it. And because I think that's what
I got to get one, because he kept on telling me, and he'd go up to people in grocery stores and tell them, saying, Mike, you're not going to be able to reach enough people.
Well, and I think Tucker Carlson said, we need to, I saw a woman in Denver riding her bicycle and she had a mask on. And I really did. I wanted to roll down the window and shout at her, you're making me uncomfortable wearing your mask. There's no need to wear a mask.
You're a microaggressive man. I'm triggering.
I'm a Karen. I'm an anti-mask Karen. I think, though, that the time is coming for people and me, to just start saying, I'm not even going to pretend to comply anymore. And until a store manager comes up to me and says, you have to wear a mask. And then I'm going to say, no, I don't. The rule says if 80% of the people have been vaccinated, I don't have to wear a mask. And I believe 80% of the people have never been vaccinated. You know, show me differently. And again, they may kick me out and that's okay. But I think if enough people, I got to think there are some businesses, right? I mean, how quickly do you think if you're a restaurant owner, right? You're like, all my employees have been vaccinated. Raise your hand. The only thing I think that's slowing this down for businesses, no offense here, Chuck, but is lawyers. Right. If you're a business, I imagine you probably still have some, because that's where the government is trying to screw small businesses. They're not going to give them a clear, easy to follow directive. They're going to be like, you all figure it out.
And I think this is great. The national chains will be particularly horrified.
Right.
And so they'll demand masks and we can stop going to these stupid huge chains.
Right.
Go to some independently owned restaurant.
Right. But all right. So, you know, think about that too. And we can do a show on that and we'll get audience participation in terms of, you know, what you think we should do and how should we do it? Because I think it is going to take an uprising because they're going to try to social pressure us. I mean, you know, you see, I was trying to look at, for Pete's sakes, the PGA leaderboard. And what comes up is some bizarre commercial with celebrities and golf people telling me to get the vaccine. I'm like, not going to get the vaccine.
There are millions of these ones with people, you know, giving their arm up for, you know, go ahead and do it. And you go, no.
Well, the people for the most part who want the vaccine or feel they need the vaccine have gotten it.
Well, you can just walk up anywhere and get it.
It's not hard, right? And so they're going to try to force us. And the only reason they're going to try to force us is money, I suspect. I mean, why else? If most of the people, and they keep saying herd immunity, what did Dr. Fauci now says? Herd immunity is never going to happen. I mean,
never,
even though it's happened for everything else.
You can count on Dr. Fauci. I mean, whatever Dr. Fauci says, I follow. And I don't care how many times he flips and flops. I just go with the lettuce flip and the flop.
That's right.
Because that is one man. No wonder he's paid more than any other federal employee. He's well worth it.
Right.
What a guy.
Well,
what a person.
And this is a horrific thing. And I haven't investigated this. This is one of those stories that sounds horrific in the headlines and who knows what the truth is. But did you see they were using scalps harvested from aborted fetuses transplant onto mice.
Oh, right, rats.
I'm like, ooh. I mean, and we think that the Wuhan virus under Dr. Fauci did
never
not come from the lab.
They're
doing that kind of stuff. It's like,
not Dr. Fauci.
All right. Hey, another topic then wanted to talk about, and again, jump in if you want, 888-627-6008 or unmute yourself. Chuck and Randy on Peter Boyle's this morning. Why don't you set the stage as to why? Oh, because Chuck received the ultimate papal dispensation.
I've been on a few times, but they always had to ask before he came on.
Casey made some kind of...
And everybody'd be terrified.
Crazy comment. I know. When Chuck goes into KNUS, everyone's, it's sort of like, you never know what Chuck's going to say. They should just have the promo. Chuck is going to be on KNUS today. Listen, you don't... I mean, actually, you just know he's never going to know. You never know what he's going to say. So very used to it. You guys are used to it.
So it was, uh-oh.
Well, no, explain. So Peter Boyle has
So Peter's been fighting for me.
Did you want to have you on? Because Peter's gone anti-Republican.
Yeah,
he
said, we need Chuck. And I hear that all the time, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so Randy and I, we'd gone on a few weeks ago and it was a huge success. But you know, everybody was terrified.
Chuck was going to blurt something out.
I was going to say something.
This is my life, guys. Yeah. This is my life.
I was going to say something that might be
dinner
funny.
Dinner parties, podcasts.
Might say something that's a little quippy, dark humorish, you know, never know. Just never know. So we were down there today, and it was great. It was a fun show.
Well, tell me what you were debating.
I don't know.
Ben will bring you in here in a second. So Peter has been saying that, you know, the election, there was no rigging of the election, and that Republicans need to stop saying that. We disagree with that. We've had him on our show and talked about that. He thinks that the Republican Party, there is no, the ballot harvesting, all the things they're doing here in Colorado don't make any difference. We just need to get better candidates.
Well, you know, we got a couple females in the chair and the vice chair. Everything changed. The whole state has turned pro-Republican.
And so you've got
a couple goddamn women there.
So you had Randy Corcoran also with 710 KNUS.
It was great. Randy started out just right in the eyes. He was right after Peter about the whole buckwheat thing. And it got pretty tense, I can tell you. So it was a good start to that because they didn't come to fisticuffs, but it was pretty tense. I was sitting there, ooh.
But you guys are good because you're all friends and you get along. Ben, you opened your mic up here. You want to weigh in on this?
I just wanted to say tranny man. That's what cracked me up. That was just, they almost had to break right there because somebody had to go into the silent room to be spoken to. Because Chuck said, you know, and I agree with you.
We're talking about Caitlyn Jenner, right?
Yeah, say, Caitlyn Jenner.
We have Caitlyn Jenner in Colorado. I said, yeah, we need a good tranny, right? And then, he said a good tranny. Is Caitlyn Jenner. Let us pass out. I mean,
Caitlin even admits that she is a transsexual, a tranny.
Yeah.
And so I'm just cracking up when all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you said the N word.
Yeah,
and
I was like, he is the T word.
Yeah, like they're so hypersensitive about this stuff that you can't even have a conversation with them.
Well, and that becomes a trouble. And, you know, and I'll give Tucker Carlson credit for that. You know, Tucker Carlson is out there these days saying stuff, right? And, you know, and they're trying to get him fired. And the mainstream media, I think, you know, it shows, I guess we had Joel Altman on the other day from the Conservative Daily. I think podcasts and formats that are not run by hedge funds or owned by hedge funds and massive corporations, that's the way to go, because these companies have learned if they just want to shut you down, all they need to do is file a lawsuit, or they just need to start a Twitter troll campaign. And all of a sudden everybody gets fired. And, you know, I think people are learning their way around that.
I think that you're right. You know, it's just your speech is being suppressed, your sense of humor. This is one of the things I like about Chuck, is because he has a warped sense of humor, and I do too. And so I know exactly what he's saying. You know, when you guys were removed from the radio station, I did not find what he said was offensive. And I just feel that way. And I think there's many of us who feel that way, that you guys have, well, maybe not you so much, Julie, but certainly Chuck has that dark side of humor. And I get it. And there's a lot of other people that understand it too.
Well, and in these times, when I worked in the news business for years, and dark humor is a mainstay. That's why I feel bad for cops these days, because, you know, cops see horrific things. And one of the ways I think that as human beings we deal with that is we make sick jokes. I mean, that's one of the ways I think we keep it, so we release it, right? We keep from internalizing it. And if you're a cop, you can't say anything about anything anymore. But they're trying to do that to the rest of us. I mean, we got Joe Biden as president, for God's sakes. If we can't have dark humor.
That's probably the biggest joke that's being played on the American population right now. You know, and listening to Pete, and also I listened to that portion of the 8 o'clock hour where he had on John Eastman, my new BFF,
right,
and Chuck's new BFF. So I listened to that as well, and I thought that that Peter, you know, was not allowing Dr. Eastman to make any of the statements that he felt was important, and that is that he takes his career and his profession very seriously. And so whenever he's talking about somebody submitting an affidavit, a sworn affidavit that was punishable by perjury. And Peter was just saying, oh, he's blowing it off. Like, well, I think Dr. Eastman was also trying to say, listen, we have presented our expert in this. And that is, I forgot the gentleman's last name, Doug
Frank
Douglas or something like that.
Doug Frank. So, yeah.
I'm sorry?
Frank? Last name?
Yes. Doug, yeah. Frank? That's it. Frank. That's it. Douglas Frank. And so he was saying, where's your expert in that? And
yes.
Peter couldn't come up with one.
Yeah. Well, because,
it's like, that's all we're saying. Here's our expert. Where's yours?
I didn't talk to Dr. Eastman after, but if I had, I would have said, Peter was being on his best behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. I could tell that too, because, Peter has a tendency of getting a little boisterous, but I thought the Dr. Eastman did quite well in defending
I thought it was going great. And I thought Dr. Eastman was presenting himself very, very well when it came to the abrupt end. And,
yeah.
Randy tweeted to me, texted, OMG.
Well, what happened for folks who didn't hear, Dr. Eastman hung up. But here's the thing that happens, though, and this is the problem, that, and I don't mean to pick on Peter here, but the mainstream media, they just ignore it. I mean, we had Joe Altman on the other day with his attorney, where they just flat out said Newsmax issues an apology, and they said there's no evidence of any kind of election irregularity. Well, there is. Now, Dr. Eastman says, we don't know what difference did it make. Was there a good reason for it? Was there a nefarious reason for it? We don't know, and that's what we're trying to find out. But to try to, for anyone to claim that the courts found that all that was debunked, the courts found it doesn't exist, that's just a lie. And anymore, right. They're the ones who
Well, the
who
courts
lying.
Would deny hearing the matter, so right. You don't have standing, and then it right. was moot or latches. Or all these procedural ones where they never took the Supreme Court spent all its time quivering in the back room with Chief Justice Roberts. Like a riot. I mean, he's like a juror in the Chauvin case. I mean,
well, not one of the 60 cases ever got to a point where they had an evidentiary hearing.
Yeah.
And
right.
that was justice denied. And
right.
that's all that I think Dr. Eastman was trying to say that this has not gotten before a court yet, and yet there is some evidence that is between 11% and 13% of the votes in some of these states are questionable at best.
Right.
And
right.
so that is a sufficient amount to have changed the outcome.
Right.
And when you have fractional voting, which took place here in Colorado,
right.
that is what is the major argument here. You can't have fractional voting unless you have something that's going on with the algorithm.
Well, and on top of it all, you've got now the Department of Justice weighing in. I mean, I guarantee
Civil Rights Division.
The
we
Democrats,
all can trust.
Yeah, the Democrats are. This is where I'm going to please Republicans and please Donald Trump. If you can hear me, the Democrats are laying the groundwork to destroy and debunk and get rid of whatever comes out of the Maricopa County audit. Republicans
right.
need to be doing the same thing. The Democrats already have. Their minions in the media lined up, and the Republicans need to be doing the same. Let me read Charlene. She's saying, Charlene says, the cray-cray is offending my sensibilities. Mm-hmm. Out of manufactured cray-cray comes a new order. Mm-hmm. And then I'll thank you for this, Charlene. Peter needs to bring on guests from the left, a new leftist audience. Randy and Chuck are propping him up. Hey, listen, we've only got a few minutes left, so Ben, we'll let you go on
Bye-bye.
That. But thank you for weighing in on that.
But I want to say one other thing. How much time?
We have 2 minutes.
I
know.
You were talking about on the show, I was saying, we have no chance to win these elections statewide. And here's my problem. The Republicans passed a pretty mild law in Georgia, just saying, you can only have X amount of boxes, increasing the amount of early voting time, and a few other really pretty milquetoasty things. They go bananas. They demand everything be
right.
removed from Georgia. They just go bonkers and will keep on going bonkers all over it. So the Republicans here in Colorado, they take away your vote. They absolutely took it away.
We have a minute left now. Poor Chuck, I can feel it getting riled up. We'll do it next
Never
show.
Mind.
We'll start the next show with that because there is hope. There is hope. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the great folks at BBS. And remember, you can catch all of the podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube for as long as they keep us up.
I think it's Charlene says, Ben deserves a higher title than the getaway driver. He's got one. He's the other guy. That's the other. That's how Randy is, because he can't remember what Ben does. So he's the other guy.
We got
so
it.
So it's either the getaway driver or the other guy.
Hey, everybody, thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.